You had very early on very distinct experiences from watching her every night too.
Yeah.
George C. Scott. Tony Randall was a standby in that
Well,
show?
Tony's company was doing it, but
yeah.
George was unhealthy, and so
oh.
he decided to be George's understudy, so to speak. And so when George couldn't go on, Tony would go on, and they were obviously like night and day, so different. So it was actually quite fun because it would keep you on your toes. And Charles Durning, too.
What did you learn from those early experiences? They're all heavyweights in the industry.
Yeah. All of it is something I've learned more in retrospect, or I learned intuitively, and now it's just a part of me because I wasn't 12 years old on stage with George C. Scott thinking, oh, I'm going to take something from him and use it when I'm 26 years old. I was acting then because, you know, I liked it the way I liked basketball. I kind of fell into it, and I guess I was good at it, and community plays led to regional plays, which led to off-Broadway, which led to Broadway. But I wasn't fierce about wanting to be an actor when I'm older then. So the only thing I can say about it in retrospect is I think it was a really good way to learn how to act, because immediately you're sort of playing people who aren't your age, they're from a different time period, dealing with different subject matter, and I think a lot of television and with, you know, a lot of movie, you're often just kind of playing variations of yourself and just kind of really modern stuff. And so I think I sort of, without knowing it, got some really good training. And obviously by watching those guys, you know, trying to keep up with them and do my best job on stage, you're engaged with them no matter what. But I would be essentially making it up if
yeah.
I gave you a really concrete answer. George Scott, man, was a powerful dude. Him on stage, I mean, it was pretty amazing to be there even then.
Yeah.
You know, and in retrospect, I wish I could be there right now. It sounds awesome.
I don't want to diminish and say you were lucky to work with these people, because clearly
no,
you
I
have
was.
The talent to
yeah.
be able to. No, but I mean, along
yeah.
the over the span of your career, you've had very interesting on-camera pairings with people like Brian
right.
Cox in L.I.E.
Yeah.
And again, recently,
yeah.
of course, Kevin Klein in this, Daniel
yeah.
Day-Lewis a few times.
Yeah.
When you're working with somebody who's at such a high level, it's like playing basketball with Michael
sure.
Jordan, you can't help but try to keep up. But what are the most important lessons that you've learned?
You take away something different from all of them, and I have been lucky, but that's also something I relish and I look for, too. Since I'm still a young man, getting to work with Kevin in the capacity that I did is obviously a great opportunity to learn. You know, it's different from every person. Kevin is an incredibly spontaneous and alive actor, and it was really fun to try and keep up with him, which my character does too. You know, he's sort of leading the crazy train, so to speak, and I'm seeing everything for the first time, this world he lives in. It really had to be on my toes and just go with anything, and that was just so much fun. Daniel Day-Lewis and all these guys, really, you know, one thing you notice is there's a lot of people with raw talent, and then there's people who take that talent and work hard, and I think Daniel is the best example of that. His level of commitment, it makes you want to step up your game and work just as hard, and it's inspiring.
Was there a moment on There Will Be Blood or Ballad of Jack and Rose where you go, wow, this guy goes where nobody else goes?
There was definitely some moments where, you know, I was going, holy shit.
Like specifically
because
what?
We didn't really rehearse, and so sometimes I didn't know how big something that was going to come out of him was going to be, because he's so powerful. And I don't really want to say specific instances. I think you could probably imagine hearing some of the lines from that ending scene on the page, but then, you know, the real deal is just a whole nother level, you know, from that. I definitely had moments like that. It's cool.
Yeah. Paul Thomas Anderson, he's an actor's dream to work with. And
yeah.
He gives you so much room and so much space to
yeah.
explore. First of all, are you working on the religion film with him?
No, I don't think so. We keep in touch. You know, he's a great dude. And he loves actors, and you can tell in his movies, and he's a great guy.
On Night and Day, you work with Tom Cruise. He's
so,
also part
yeah,
of the no. Paul Thomas Anderson
sure.
collective.
Yeah, he's amazing in Magnolia.
Along with John C. Reilly, who was in Sydney and Boogie
yeah.
Nights, of course.
Yeah, Magnolia.
So, yeah.
I love his character in Magnolia. We'd met each other before, Reilly and I. I think we've maybe even met each other through PTA, because they're still boys. I have to say, I have to admit, there was definitely like an immediate kind of connection. It's like when somebody likes the same sports team you do, or something. It's just kind of like a jumping off. Yeah, there's a feeling about it, you know. So I'm sure we talked about Paul, but mostly it was just kind of like we probably had a feeling we would get along. Or...
Yeah, and looking at Little Miss Sunshine, and there's so much that comes through the silence, and, you know, everybody says at least 50% of acting is listening, but how much was that magnified, especially making that leap from that film to There Will Be Blood, and this film too, where so much of it is observing and watching as the character.
Well, yeah, I think since then it's been important to any acting I've done, and certainly forced to learn that lesson when you're playing somebody who doesn't talk. I think you're constantly kind of relearning that lesson, though. You know, like with Kevin, we really sort of let anything fly. We were definitely not clean. It was pretty muddy. Banter and blocking and, you know, our interactions. So if you're going to try and work like that, you have to be listening. Otherwise, you're just going to freeze and not know what to do. But, yeah, Little Miss Sunshine, not just because the film did well or some people liked it, but it was a good challenge.
Speaking of Little Miss Sunshine, have you seen any of the early drafts of the musical?
No. No, I haven't. I heard they were doing that, but that's about all. That's about it.
This is supposed to debut in La Jolla, I think, in January, and then it's coming to Broadway.
No way, that soon?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
No.
William Finn, who did Falsetto Land. And
oh, yeah. Well, I'll be curious.
And James Lapine.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, all right.
You'll be there.
I'll check it out. You know, I guess so, yeah.
Are you nervous at all about seeing it in a musical form?
I think so. I think it might be a little weird.
Yeah.
I think I might be a little like, you know, whoa, like that's my guy.
Yeah.
Like easy.
Yeah.
You know, possibly. I don't know. I've never had that experience before. I don't even think with plays, have I seen any plays that I've been in? You know, might be a little weird. I might feel a little, you know, yeah.
It's a little out of body.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, but it's a different, it's not a movie, so I think I'll be open-minded, and I hope they do good.
Yeah, looking at Lewis, no father, no mother anymore, he's sort of rudderless, and latching on to somebody who makes adventures out of banality. What kind of insanity was there on the set, from the opera to the apartment?
Oh, you know? God, yeah. Well, you know, we made the film in 27 days, maybe, which I've done less, but when you're shooting a movie, a lot of it out in New York City, that's not a fantastic amount of time, because there's so many things that eat up your time, like sirens going off during a great take, crowds, you know, just all sorts of... So it was a pretty crazy shoot, a lot to do every day, and Kevin's just a circus on his own in a great way, and Riley, they've worked together before, and they like each other, but their characters had a little bit of a... Gershon's mad at him. They would bicker, like, all the time, in this hilarious way, and John would be like, Kevin, like, you know, if you, like... You know, and, like, Kevin was, meanwhile, like, quizzing me on Shakespeare. He would quote Shakespeare, and if I couldn't name the play... it was from, you know, I was chastised for the rest of the day, you know.
Would he go obscure, like Cymbeline?
Well, no, he would bust out, like, the few obscure ones he had memorized, but I found if you said Hamlet 2 out of 5 times, you were right. And then Lear, 2 out of 5 times, you're right. And then you get into Chekhov, and then you just guess Three Sisters, I found, with him. There was a lot coming at me, I felt like, you know, so there was enough insanity, definitely. And then the whole tranny thing, that's insane, too.
Did you have any trepidation about that?
You know, when I took the part, I didn't even think twice about it, and then, like, a week later, I was like, oh, wow, that's... And, you know, I went and spent some time with this woman named Miss Vera, who runs a little school of helping boys fulfill their dream of becoming girls. And she was wonderful, and she really helped me and kind of put me at ease about it. Because, you know, it's not a total sexual thing. There is a fetish element, there is a sexual element, but a majority of guys who cross-dress are straight, and then there's a really high percentage that are married or have a partner.
Eddie Izzard, who cross-dresses, but he's straight.
Exactly. And so understanding the other reasons why you would do that were really important to this character for me. You know, the film's so eccentric. Any of Lewis's eccentricities need to come from inside in this place of sort of being lost and feeling unlovable. And she was great. And, you know, I went to tranny bars and kind of got used to being around that. And then getting dressed up, you know, scary at first because you're worried, like, is this going to turn me on, for example? Or, you know, what is it going to make you feel? And then I totally felt like a dude still. I was like, yeah, okay, you know, I'm dressed like a woman, but it feels like I'm still me, you know? It was much less scary. The thing I really hated was the lipstick, though. The clothes were not as bad. I really hated the lipstick.
Well, ultimately, though, he finds his manhood through dressing like a woman.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I just still felt like a dude, which I was pleasantly surprised by, because I didn't know, you know.
Yeah. Well, look, I know we have to wrap it up, but good luck.
Okay,
good luck.
Thanks, man.